This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Enneagram and Marriage Pod. We are continuing our sexual instinct series as we ignite the flames of your love together today. I hope more than ever, we're continuing on bringing out good virtues where you guys are trying to love each other with attraction, with goodness. And today we're talking about how to, some of the performance aspects of sex in that three space. And if we're looking at Enneagram, we'd say some intimacy with four and some research with five. Today, we're really allowing ourselves to see that you can't have intimacy sexually without some awareness of healthy performance cues, and also let's use some research to help you get there as well. And then next time we'll talk about some troubleshooting and some other topics. So if you want a deeper dive episode with all of this, we're going to be talking about everything from excitement to resolution, plateau, orgasm, everything over there at the Deeper Dive Podcast on Apple. Or if you're in the collective newly or have been here for a while, welcome. We are doing that on our other Deeper Dive podcast today, where we can really delve in a more private setting to allow for this audio version only to really walk you through some tips for each of those stages. But today, I'm so thankful we're going to do quite a bit of healthy work here as well. And it's interestingly coming on the heels of a conversation, I think that's quite relevant, that's been going through the churches lately, which has been that not only in my clients in the last week, even literally, but out there in the church has been these discussions of people saying, hey, I feel bad, dirty, wrong to have sex as a woman. And we're seeing this large orgasm gap also, where women are 47% less likely to have a sexual orgasm. And that's Sheila Ray Gregoire's research that she's done, which is so phenomenal. I'm so thankful for that. But also between her, Jay Stringer, Dr. Camden Morganti, they've been bringing to light some really big concerns along the lines of church leaders sometimes stepping up and saying, hey, and I think this particular church leader I won't name, because I think there's a lot like this that are giving this message of sex is all for the guy, and make sure you do whatever he says in whatever way he says you need to. And it's a bit rapey, and it's very concerning. So I think that it's important for us to take a step back, take a nice deep breath, and say whatever you were taught in unhealthy ways around sexuality, we want to break those chains with this new series here and allow you to come into the healthiest aspects of your sexual chemistry together as intimate partners. And if you share my faith, also as beloved, each of you members of the body of Christ versus one of you making it all about you and the other one not. Now, here's the other piece of good news to go along with the hard news there. And that good news is that most men statistically want their wives to enjoy the sexual experience very much. So guys, you can take a deep breath too, knowing that I've got your back here, that we see you and all the marriage therapists out there see you. It's that there's a few voices sometimes leading that aren't very healthy, and they're almost quite immature and perhaps have been fed so much by the porn industry just in their own walk and, maybe shame cycles and addiction cycles, that they're thinking the only way we can truly have good sex is if we take advantage of the other person and tell them what they have to do and come with this power over authoritarian style of sex. And that just does not serve true intimacy, guys. It's emptiness when you approach sex that way. So I just want to tell you that. And that goes for ladies too. There's the whole dominatrix theme out there as well. So I want you guys to really really allow yourselves to walk through this in a way that allows you to have a partnership. It's okay also to have the masculine and feminine vibes going. That can be beautiful as well. But when I say partnership, it doesn't mean one of you might not be more masculine and one of you might not be more feminine. It means that you allow yourselves to respect each other and to love each other. There's no one trying to take power over and take somebody's human rights or dignity away during the sexual experience. So that's huge. And that is something that, even if it was said in jest, was being promoted. And it's so important that we just allow ourselves some space to decipher that, to really process through that together as we start. So I thought, oh my gosh, wow, this is right in the middle of our series. And I'm almost glad, not really glad, but almost glad it happened right now so we could talk about it right here and say, let's avoid that at all costs. Now, if you want the flirting aspects to sex and you're just like, I don't even know how to entice at all. I don't know how to even, you know, not only do I not know how to build sexual excitement, but I don't even know how to get my partner to do a turning towards John Gottman behavior. And I'm just referencing the number one marriage researcher in the world, Gottman, who says we need turning towards behaviors, literally turning towards behaviors, turning towards each other, then come check out the Instagram series that we just published last night, because I talk there about just flirting for every single Enneagram type. And some of the types would love to have flirting through this deep eye contact, and others would be like, oh, it's all about humor. And, you know, others still would be like, when I get activated with my workouts and the testosterone's going, that's it for me. So come head over to Instagram if you want just some light flirting tips. And now you're right here in the right place as we're continuing to talk through some other tips about performance. So the first thing I started with already that may have concerned you outside of the comment of that pastor was that it's a really big orgasm gap between men and women, with most men over 90% saying they orgasm every time, and women saying it's more about 48%. And I will be honest that honestly, over 30% say that the only way that they can come to orgasm is sometimes through non-penetrative ways. So maybe that's a vibrator, maybe that's their own manual stimulation, maybe that's with their partner stimulation, maybe that's through oral sex. I just want you to be educated here that women take longer to come to their orgasm, and they also feel less comfortable, and they often don't have an orgasm as much as men. And so what might be shocking to some of you would be if you said, that's not my wife at all. In fact, she has the higher sexual drive than I do. Or for others of you, you're just like, you know what? We both have a very high sex drive. This is an average. So you don't have to take it home and change things around or think you're bad or weird. And that also goes for women with the higher sex drive. But often there's a reason why one of us doesn't have a higher sex drive. So I wanted to first educate you and then say, you know, some of the solutions to your performance issues with this orgasm gap are going to be found in different areas than the bedroom per se. Some of them are going to be solved through the chore factor, for instance, because statistically women carry a greater mental load than men. And of course, Monday we talked about all the different kinds of sacred rest we all need. So I hope you'll go back to that episode with Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith if you just need some more tips about that. But suffice it to say that if you're a guy and you're trying to arouse or entice your wife to the bedroom and to enjoying her orgasm more, which I already said that you could take a deep breath, we know that is your desire. Sometimes men are going through this and to this through a quick obligatory sense, felt sense of like, okay, I'll do the dishes this one time so that I can take you to the bedroom. And that feels a lot more like the parenting sessions that I've had already today and this week, where I'm just helping people like, how do we figure out how to get their teenager to do things? And to be honest, even with teenagers, a lot of the time what we're talking about is, yes, sometimes you have to remove or add, you know, privilege, consequences, etc. Oftentimes, however, you need the quality time and you need to be a team together, and your teen has to learn to be a team. And we just don't want you as a husband to have to be in that space where you're not a team player. So much more important than with kids and teens is that the husband and wife are on equal footing with the team ship. So it is not all women. It is not nearly all women, but it is a majority that say, here's what would be so attractive to me in this light of our load is that I carry a mental load that's greater than my husband. And like I said, statistically, not in every case. And I would love if he would add that to his roster. And it might even be that as a couple or a family, we decide you always have this chore, you always have this one. And if we find that there's too great of a discrepancy, we come back to the table and talk about it and say, you know, gosh, we set this out last week. We've tried it out this week. And you know what? I was doing chores 75% of the time when you were 25. And you know what? I'm too tired by the time I get to the bedroom to enjoy you. And of course, other things we'll look at next week in a troubleshooting episode, we can say also might be part of the problem. But in general, when we're trying to bring performance up in the bedroom, we want to make sure that people have enough energy to get there. And so that's just a really big one right there is no one wants to have an orgasm when they're feeling exhausted. I mean, even if they want to, they're like, I just can't. And so not only can you have the hyper arousal, like I'm so excited that I can't have an orgasm, but now I'm so tired that not only may I not be able to have an orgasm, but also I am experiencing a sense of maybe disappointment as well, because I am also disappointed that my spouse, my husband, is acting like a child in that way of not sharing and carrying the mental load. And they're like, Bommie, what do I do next for my chores? So watch for that. And if that's not your dynamic, and there's a ton of husbands where that is not the dynamic, then I want you to be mindful of that too. And ladies, I want you to be mindful of the mental story you're telling yourself as well, right? Because sometimes you have a husband, and I can do this as an idealist, where I'm just shooting for the stars. I'm shooting for the moon, landing amongst the stars, and then still asking Wes for more. So if you're that type of person who forgets sometimes to do the internal narrative of gratitude, that is a practice I regularly practice, is what are five things I'm grateful about so that I don't just shoot for the moon, and so that I can head down that Maslowian mountain instead of thinking I need to be at that top pinnacle all the time. So that climactic space cannot last all the time. You have to come down not only to the plateau, but also to the ground, and just allow yourself some breath work. You have to allow yourself some rest, some times where it's maybe not exciting, but you're just in the drudgery of, yeah, it's hard. Life is hard sometimes. You have to do chores. You can't always feel sexy. That is real too. So in our quest for sex, keep a healthy mindset and make sure you're dealing with each other in terms of just like, hey, are we feeling aligned in the loads that we're sharing? Because we're reading this new statistic, maybe hearing it again. How are we really feeling about that after we've considered telling the healthy internal stories and looking at it practically both? Promise me you'll do both. Okay, now moving on, another reason why your performance might feel less than and you're missing out is that you just don't know the mechanics. You don't know the research behind, like I said, what it takes for both of you to come to orgasm. And sometimes it's because people don't feel comfortable telling each other how to move around. And that is something we already said is culturally just part of our story. I was even hearing Sue Johnson, the creator of Emotionally Focused Therapy. We've talked a lot about her on this podcast, and I did my master's thesis on her. And she's reminding us that a lot of people over her 35 years, and I'll agree over my 20 plus years of working with couples, are not comfortable with talking about sex any more than they were 20 to 35 years ago. It's just part of our nature. So when you're feeling like, are we the only ones who don't talk about it? No, it's hard to talk about sometimes for so many culturally diverse reasons, but that's everybody, not even just evangelical Christians. So couples who are not going to fit in that bell curve, of course, are talking about it, but I'm just saying the majority are not. Therefore, women are not experiencing as much awareness or empowerment to say, here's what really excites me and enthralls me. And sometimes they're just leaning in like, okay, I don't have many orgasms, but I just want to please him. And that's okay. But I love Sheila Ray Gregoire's analogy we shared with her on the podcast a couple of years ago. And she's like, it's like you're both going out to dinner, but only one of you is really getting the satisfaction. And the other one is just watching like, oh, it's so wonderful to watch you have dinner. And yet I'm also hungry in some way, shape, or form. And so keep that in mind, guys, that really the goal I would love for you to have would be for you both to orgasm. And one way to make sure that happens is to, not use pornography, not be masturbating, but saving your time of excitement, enthusiasm for each other. And I'm not saying that your sex life might not involve you guys touching and petting and stroking and all of that. I'm just saying when you're not in the bedroom with each other, it's probably best to save that time of arousal for each other so that you can allow yourselves that space and time to truly connect and be excited for each other versus just kind of like, oh, I already did that. And people can't always compete with something like a vibrator. So sometimes there's even a need for you to, I mean, I'm not going to say anything about somebody who does in terms of judging you, but I wouldn't recommend that for your sex life with each other unless you're using that in a way that you both feel comfortable together, because it's going to take away from your feelings sometimes of need for a guy, just like for a guy and also women nowadays as well. There's about equal statistics with pornography use that this may help you to feel in a negative way, really like you're already desensitized. And whether it's the vibrator or the pornography, you don't need one another. So watch for those things, and I would avoid those things personally. Also, to build intimacy, I would take some time to figure out what's going to arouse her. And maybe it is that you guys decide to deliver oral sex to each other, not just her with him, if that's something you're comfortable with. Some people in the Christian circle aren't comfortable with that at all. I'm not going to judge you guys one way or another. That's your privacy. But I think that it's important that you allow one another to figure that out together, to say, here's what I'm comfortable with, and here's what you're comfortable with. And if one of you is not comfortable, then don't do it. But allow yourselves to really sink into that idea, as I said, that your sex life is yours to enjoy. And we have Song of Solomon saying that, his fruit was sweet for her to taste. And I believe that's Song of Songs 2:3. But I wouldn't let yourself get caught up in these, oh my gosh, I could never touch myself, or I could never, taste my spouse in this or that area. I would much more rather you allow yourself to say, I'm allowed to enjoy my spouse if they're comfortable with it. And that we can try things together and decide if we're comfortable with that. And if we're not, we won't try that again. And if we feel like we did something wrong, we'll repent of that because we don't want to hurt each other. That's never our goal or ourselves. And I would be really careful about that because I would really want you to honor each other's bodies and be careful about ever hurting each other. Now, that said, make sure that you find out what kind of touch feels good. And for guys, sometimes making it a little spicy is really fun. And obviously, women can love that too. But for women, it's even more about safety, right? Because we have to be more careful with our bodies statistically, genetically, in every possible capacity. And so you want to always be making her feel safe. And one way of figuring out, okay, if I have to make her feel safe, but I want to spice it up a little, and even just know that ground one level is just helping her to experience pleasure in a way maybe she hasn't felt that she had permission to do before, could be just even taking a non-erogenous zone of the body and saying, show me what kind of touch you like. Take her hand or rub her shoulder and say, generally, if I'm going to move into the more genitalia area with this kind of touch, what kind of touch would you like? And she might feel really comfortable showing you on, like I said, a non-erogenous zone to just display for you, here's what I like. Or it might be a nonverbal when you guys are under the sheets, where she can say, okay, here's what I love. And you can feel this with me. I don't know if I feel like verbalizing it, but I'm going to share this nonverbal. So make sure you take some time to ask. Of course, and you've heard me say many times, I love the Sensate Focus exercise. You can type in Sensate Focus, and it's from Cornell University. And it's just a non-sexual way of giving and receiving touch, also, because sometimes, as we get a little bit desensitized by one kind of touch, and that helps us to take a step back and to say, let's slow down and let's do some non-sexual touch before we lean into that. And compared to men, as women take about 14 minutes to orgasm, and men, and sometimes even upwards of 20 minutes, and men take about 5 minutes. So taking a little time ahead of time to make sure that you're allowing for healthy touch can be really great for both of you. So that's one more tip for your performance, is allowing yourself some non-sexual touch. Now, another important tip is just a basic understanding of the phases of the relationship in terms of your sexual performance. And like I said, I'm going on a deep dive with our other podcast if you want more. But I'm just going to share that first, you're coming into the excitement phase and it's flirty, it's affectionate. I'll share a few tips for that in a couple minutes, but it's just a lovely way to say to each other, like, I want you, I'm thinking of you, I like you. And then also showing that you have some sexual desire. You have to be upfront about that. And please try not to have one person always showing it. I know it's uncomfortable for some of you, sometimes a man, sometimes a woman. But when one of you does not feel comfortable asking about sex, there's always a reason. I've literally already had that in two sessions today where couples tell me, I'm not comfortable having sex because something outside of the bedroom isn't going well and I don't feel really seen or loved. So make sure you're looking at, okay, if I'm trying to build the excitement and then I still don't feel the desire for my spouse, the low libido might be coming from something outside of the bedroom that I already mentioned today, like the chore thing or somebody not being listened to. And so you really want to pay attention to what's going on with the desire. Sometimes, though, it's just, like I said, an overlay from a spiritual practice or church where it just wasn't taught that women would be able to show that. So just allow yourself to tell yourself that if you're a woman, like, I'm allowed to show that erotic side with my husband. And there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's super healthy and it turns him on so much. So best wishes to you there. Now, arousal phases are sort of what I was talking about with that touch. That's the next phase. We've got excitement, desire, arousal. And that arousal phase is when you've been starting to kiss, hopefully, which can help your oxytocin, and you're allowing yourself to find the healthy, soothing touches that you both like. And that will help you if you keep leaning into that and allowing yourselves to drink of that and to position yourselves in ways that can either be traded back and forth or both developed simultaneously. In some cases, then you can hit the plateau. And that's a comfortable place for couples to enjoy for a while when they can learn, oh, this is really nice to stay here in this pleasurable zone for a little while until they come to the orgasm, which is a climactic experience. Now we're heading up that mountain. And now you're able to allow yourselves this release, this vulnerability that says, wow, I'm allowing my body to come into complete parasympathetic and sympathetic sort of states bonding at once, where I'm both relaxed and excited, and there's a lovely burst, and you head down to resolution, where hopefully we're learning together to stay and to bond a little longer, to maybe rest. And sometimes we have the most silly ideas about that at the beginning of marriage, about what that'll look like. And, you know, like I've told you before on this podcast, I used to think sleepovers every night. I really didn't know what to expect of marriage. I honestly even thought that the husband may fall asleep inside of the wife. I just didn't know. And so I think it's important to be able to continue to learn together about what that resolution looks like for you guys. And you might be a quiet couple where you're like, we have mostly just chill nights and we love our quiet sexual life. We look into each other's eyes. We have found our pleasures. And now we just fall asleep sweetly. And we're not somebody who has to do a lot of talking. So no shaming yourselves if you guys are already satisfied with that area. But I do want you to know that's one more piece of a beautiful life together. And if you're somebody who loves the sexual experience, understand you can savor what just happened versus finishing and then immediately asking for more, because that can feel very pressuring for a spouse who's like, oh my gosh, the only time that we are, feeling our closeness, or that I feel like you're not asking for sex, is during sex. So give them time and space to recover, allow yourself to savor what happened, and allow them to want you again. Allow some playfulness. And I'll just mention briefly that some people wonder what that's about. Just as we've talked about how low libido can be from somebody feeling like they're, you know, exhausted or being used, so can, somebody's low libido come, of course, from feeling like I'm overly desired. And it can also come, from this opposite end of the spectrum, where the other partner is feeling like so insecure because they've never had touch. And so growing up, and not much from you either, if you're their partner. And so they're panicking, like, the only time I feel loved and responsiveness is during our sexual life. So I want you to also be thinking about your performance outside of the bedroom at that resolution point, to be able to say, you know, how can I show them how much I love them after this beautiful time together? together? How can I show them that I appreciated it and I'm not going to start doubting their love? And coming into secure attachment will help you to do that. And we have podcasts on that and just so many conversations we're always having here about creating a more secure attachment bond. But I will be honest that spouses who don't allow themselves to have a sexual relationship often don't have much secure attachment because one of the spouses is feeling like, I'm being ignored. I'm scared. This is really hard for me to understand if you love me. And sometimes couples are just like, we're both too tired. And I saw a couple like that recently, and they said it wasn't important to them. But then they came back a while later and they said, we feel like we're just roommates because we just kind of gave up on that part of our lives. It was annoying. It was difficult for various physical reasons, even. But sometimes you really need to tell yourself, let's work at this because this is a bond we share in this way that we don't share with anybody else. And it is what creates this extra special bond between us. And as we said, if both partners can find that way to orgasm, there's a beautiful release. And there's statistics around that as well that it's healthy for you to have orgasm. And so, like I said, don't overdo where you're forcing your spouse into this as the only area of intimacy. Get other kinds of intimacy where you're like hugging and you're kissing and you're telling each other beautiful things, but also allow yourselves to that space of just celebrating the intimacy you're already having and not asking for all the more all the time. So I also want to let you know about flirting just a little bit, because I think that that's something that we wonder about when we're trying to develop intimacy, when we say, what really makes my partner feel special? And of course, I already said, we're going to have some nuances, and that's where we covered it on Instagram last night. But here's a few more tips that I love from Sheila Ray Ruggwar's husband in their book, The Good Guy's Guide to Great Sex. And he talks about how many women surveyed said that some of the things that made her feel more special, and again, approaching that orgasm for female too, but please, if you are the guy listening or the wife listening for her guy, I want you to know that this is a two-way street, not just for him to give to you, but think of beautiful ways you too can connect instead of just perhaps nagging or making somebody feel like you have forgotten all the good they do for you. And all you're doing is asking for the next thing all the time. So for both partners, this is the goal, calling each other. And of course, tweak this for your personalities, but calling each other at random times of the day just to hear each other's voices is a good way, or sending little messages, giving a kiss goodbye, leaving everywhere, telling each other that they're attractive or beautiful. Often we hear that for girls, but guys love that as well. And it can be different pieces of that where you might compliment strength or something else, agility that you love, intelligence, leave little notes telling you that you love each other. Maybe also some of you are acts of service people, charging the phone for each other, make sure they're drinking water, getting hydrated, putting gas in the car. Now, for some, this might feel like this was just a parent-child. But for others, like I said, stage of life really matters. This is life. This is the refreshment that they need. So you might be wondering, why is Krista talking about flirting, like getting gas in the car? Because sometimes that feels like flirting, quite frankly. Another piece that may fit a little bit more into the traditional flirting is reaching over and touching each other while falling asleep, just to get that little sensation of touch. It could be that coffee getting brought to one another. It could be sending a picture of yourselves to each other. And of course, if it's a sexual picture, please be careful. I don't do that. One more I'm going to add is emojis. I love to send Wes an emoji, as I've mentioned on the podcast before, and that helps him to know that I am thinking about him, and it just helps him to feel like I'm flirting with him. And yes, there is such a thing as emoji flirting. So you knew you were going to hear that from a type seven. You don't have to do the same as me, but it might be something fun that you add in. Now, a little bit more as we close is just this flirting self-evaluation I love from Dating Divas. They have a questionnaire. You can just ask yourself a few of these without judgment, but in hopes that you, not your spouse, but you, listener, friend here, community member, that you would bring these pieces into your marriage in order to build up this foreplay and the flirtation so that you can even get to that excitement and desire phase. These questions are: do you laugh together often? Do you tease each other? Do you write the playful notes? Do you send flirtatious text messages? Do you have little private inside jokes? Do you use anticipation, like I said, withholding a little bit? Do you surprise each other, spoil each other? Do you hold hands? I'm going to add date nights here. Do you kiss? Do you make out? Do you rub each other's backs? These are great little flirts, and I just want you to know that that's part of it all. So thank you for hanging out with me for this research today. Thank you for hanging out with some of these performance analyses today. And then also, of course, like I said, just these intimacy building tips. So I am so grateful for you. I have been getting great feedback about the series, and I am so glad we're on this journey together. Please come join me at the other series if you just want to delve in for tips even more in that sexual arousal phasing, and we'll take it all the way from excitement through orgasm and resolution there. So have a wonderful day, and I hope your marriage is so blessed by this information. I'll talk to you soon. Share it with somebody you love. If so, bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.